Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour. Comedy Alive, the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rockin' Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Monday around the country. Final hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter. At Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. So when Melvin Gordon, late last week, you and I dissected this a million different angles. That's still going on because he might hold out. Probably going to hold out. He wants his money. He's not going to get it for reasons that you and I chronicled. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. All right, for Melvin Gordon to be used... to have the rules of the NFL finances used against him.
Yep.
The Chargers, we both believe, are being somewhat smart. They're not going to hand him exorbitant money. They shouldn't.
No.
Zeke Elliott's a little different.
Yeah.
And like Melvin Gordon, though, Melvin's been far more public in his declarations or intentions. Looks like Zeke is starting to plot the same thing as well. Zeke's got to get paid.
Well, he does, but it's a difficult proposition to get done, especially with Dak still having to get paid. The wide receiver is still having to get paid. Amari Cooper is still having to get paid. So, look, Zeke Elliott is in a interesting position. He's led the league in rushing. He's only been three seasons now. He's led the league in rushing twice, 1,631 yards and 15 touchdowns his rookie season. Then 1,434 yards last season. He didn't have as many touchdowns, only six touchdowns. But he did have 77 receptions last year. So in Zeke's first year, it was like, all right, he can tote the rock. Great. He's big. He's powerful. Every run, he finishes going forward. Every single run, because he's such a low center of gravity guy. So as soon as he hits you, you know you're going backwards as a defender. But I didn't foresee him becoming the modern NFL running back, the guy who – like Saquon, like Christian McCaffrey, these guys that not only tote the ball for 1,400 yards, but also catch 60 or 70 or 80 passes. He turned himself into that guy. Now, currently, though, he is the fifth highest paid running back. He's still on his rookie deal and hasn't had his fifth year option yet, which is next year. He's only making $3.5 million next year, $3.8 million. So is he underpaid?
It's amazing.
Is he underpaid? Grossly.
Embarrassingly underpaid.
Does he deserve a new contract?
Yep.
Yes. But just like the free agent franchise tag conversation / free agent conversation we had last week, he has zero leverage. Zero leverage because he's under contract this year and they've already picked up the fifth-year option. No. So technically, they have him for two more seasons, almost guaranteed. And if they really want to mess with him, they'll franchise him again 3 years from now when that franchise number, because of the Adrian Peterson contract now off the books, is not exorbitant. You know, it's not crazy. It's probably around $10 million, or maybe it'll be up to 11 at that point. So it's like they have Zeke. Now, Zeke has started to privately. He hasn't gone the Melvin Gordon route, and as you mentioned, BT, and demand I get a new contract, or I want. He's definitely not going to say he wants to get traded, because there's no way Zeke's leaving Dallas. He's going to be an icon there if he stays for his entire career. But he's demand just like Melvin Gordon demanding to be paid, or he's going to hold out. Zeke's not saying it, but there's a growing suspicion that he actually might hold out. Now the difference is, I think with Melvin Gordon, Phillip Rivers still at a high level of play, Chargers can probably and Eckler, who we mentioned last week, BT, they can probably get away with Melvin Gordon not being there. Right? Zeke Elliott, not on the Dallas Cowboys.
That's why I say it's totally different.
It changes the conversation
the
about the Dallas Cowboys.
If Zeke wasn't on the team, we would have kicked Dak Prescott to the curb.
That's right.
We probably, because remember, even when Dak was starting to really flesh, it took us a while for that to really, not that he's a superstar, but he's a lot better than I think many of us thought he would be.
Agreed. He's evolved into a better player than we thought he was going to be.
Low mistake quarterback, highly intelligent, very good leader, very durable, and very efficient.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all those things, I mean, you got to pay the guy.
But the problem the problem was we saw this in 2017 when Zeke missed games for suspension.
Yeah.
He only played 10 games that season.
Yep.
It was like,
Well, that's what I'm saying. Zeke deserves every penny.
Dak was average.
He was undeniably average. Still early enough in his development do you chalk it up to an absence of Zeke or just because he wasn't fully mature yet or maybe a bit of both?
Yeah.
My answer is probably C, of both.
You forgave it for a little bit.
Sure, Zeke undeniably makes him better. But just contrast this. We didn't really waste much time on it because it's just the economics of each sport. It's different. Ben Simmons just got a max deal today. Mm-hmm. He cannot take a 15-foot jump shot.
No.
He's a guard.
Yes.
He's a guard. Just got a max contract. Ezekiel Elliott has led, I know you gave most of the stats. Here's something else. You know, he's led the NFL in average yards per game rushing in every season he's played. And we're sitting here counting nickels and dimes for this guy?
No.
Should we pay him? Listen, I don't have a problem if NFL teams manipulate the rules and, you know, the parameters of the CBA and salary cap space, and they lean on certain, we're going to franchise you, we control you. That's fine for most guys. And I got to be honest with you. Compared to, like, Zeke, Melvin Gordon's just a guy. I mean, Melvin Gordon can't shine Ezekiel Elliott's shoes. So Ezekiel Elliott should not be facing the same fate or even potential fate that Melvin Gordon's staring at.
Yeah, I agree.
They got to pay him.
So here are the stats from the games that Zeke missed in 2017, where Dak had to be the guy. We remember this, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a loss against the Atlanta Falcons. They scored 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
There was a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. They scored 9 points.
Did they have Cooper? No.
This was 2 seasons ago.
That's what I'm saying. So keep that in mind, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So you didn't even have Amari Cooper.
Exactly.
Just to give Dak a little bit of a life preserver here.
Who was the leading receiver? Was that probably Cole Beasley?
Probably Cole Beasley, maybe in terms of receptions, in terms of touchdowns and yards. Nobody really stood out.
Dez was still on the team.
Yeah, but Dez wasn't good.
Yeah, true.
Dez was shot.
Yeah, he had 70 catches that year, but still, he was only
a few touchdowns.
Yep, exactly.
So keep going without Zeke.
The next game. A loss of the Chargers. They scored 6 points.
All right.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
They played the lowly Redskins, and they ended up winning. They won that game, but there was some and that's when Dak started to figure it out a little bit. But without Zeke, Dak's a different player, and this Cowboys team is a different team. So if any of these running backs have leverage, because clearly the Pittsburgh Steelers thought Le'Veon Bell was expendable. We don't need you.
Big Ben was great without him.
Exactly.
You know what?
We're going to chuck the ball 50 times a game.
Yeah.
Big Ben's got a cannon. He can hang in the pocket and figure it out and make something happen because that's Big Ben. That's what he's been doing for his entire 14-year career. We don't need you, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
you know what?
Much.
We're going to go draft James Conner.
Yeah.
James Conner's going to be a good replacement. Not you,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to be a pretty good replacement. They did okay.
Yeah.
Went for some faults down the line.
Some injuries.
James Conner got hurt.
Shazier
got hurt. I mean, they had some injuries.
Yep.
They were still a good team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very good.
Without Zeke.
Dysfunctional, but very good.
Yeah, this Cowboys team is not as good as it is with Zeke. So if there's any of these running backs that have the leverage to like, hey, I'm going to hold out. I'm not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's Zeke because the Cowboys go from a contender to a middling team.
Yes, which is why I believe the onus is firmly on Dallas to be proactive here and assertive and get this done immediately.
Yeah.
Because they're at a crossroads. It's time to win, man. It's time to win.
Darius Jackson is their backup quarterback or backup running back. He has a career 16 yards.
Good for him. If he had 1,600 or even if he had 16,000, he's been around for 30 years. He's not Zeke.
No.
I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous. 16,000 yards, you're good. You get the point.
Yeah.
Zeke Elliott is one of the most special running backs I've ever seen.
No, you're right.
Now, off the field, he's half a clown and he's got to mature.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to take back the word clown. He's not reliable. He's not as reliable as I would want one of my stars to be.
He makes bad decision with who he gets around.
A little bit behind the maturation curve.
Yeah.
Going into year four, you should have this stuff figured out by now, and maybe there's no more issues moving forward.
He said all the right things after that Vegas or whatever, that security guard issue. He said all the right things after not being disciplined by the NFL. Let's hope he adheres to them.
I got a question for you. And I know that it's a really hard one to answer because the variables are so – it's a different game, different teammates. It's officiated differently. It's just everything's different. Who's better, Emmitt Smith or Ezekiel Elliott? Week to week.
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
I'm just going to interject. I'm going to lay out. The answer is Ezekiel Elliott.
It's likely Zeke, but the problem is Emmitt, with the comparison, is Emmitt was like your guy with Curtis Martin. Even when he got older, you thought, you know, he's just average. He's just hanging on now. He'd end up with like 110 yards and a touchdown every single game. Mm-hmm. Like there was consistency to his game that was reliable. Zeke is that too, and much more explosive. But it's got to stand the test of time. We'll see.
He also doesn't have Michael Irvin next to him, nor does he have Troy Aikman throwing one of the most accurate footballs in the history of the game. This is not to denigrate the great Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Just trying to point out Dallas cannot mess around with
from
this.
Physical standpoint, from like an athleticism standpoint, I think it's Dak. I mean, Zeke. But Emmitt was reliable as they come, man.
No question
Even though he was an adversary. Both when I was with the Giants and when I was a fan growing up with the Redskins, mm-hmm. I had a ton of respect. Still have a ton of respect.
No doubt.
For Emmitt.
I even almost hate asking that question because for those who may have just tuned in or they may interpret it the wrong way, it's not disrespected Emmitt Smith. It's just, it's more about, I believe for me, that's why I asked the question, placing Elliott in the proper tier.
Yeah.
Like we've already dissected Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, well, it matters.
But I just wanted to compare it to
matters. It matters the context of all of these guys that we're talking about, especially these running backs. Like, in context, Melvin Gordon is important to the Chargers, not imperative.
Well, now bring up LaDainian Tomlinson. You want to have Emmitt Smith versus Zeke?
Yeah.
How about LaDainian Tomlinson versus Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not close at all.
I agree.
It's miles. It's planets apart.
Zeke is imperative for what the Dallas Cowboys want to do.
So
the question becomes, if you're the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, or more aptly, Stephen Jones, what are you doing here? Because it seems like everybody wants to get theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Dak has to get his because he's a quarterback in the NFL. In the modern NFL, if you're starting quarterback for 3 years and you're making progress, you're going to get paid. It is what it is. Amari Cooper, they became a different team when he joined it. So he's got to get paid. Elite wide receivers. He's not elite yet, but guys that are trending towards elite wide receivers, they got to get paid. Mm-hmm. The only one that doesn't is running backs, except in this case, because Ezekiel Elliott is so important to the Dallas Cowboys.
Do you think that Dak would have an issue suppressing ego enough if they took care of Zeke first?
And waiting a year?
I know that that's unconventional in the NFL. You're right. Quarterback's up. Quarterback get paid.
That's really unconventional.
But there's not many Zekes who are, when you have the whole quarterback-running back dynamic and both are up and both waiting to get paid. This is unique, and unique circumstances might yield a unique answer.
Look, as much as we talk about how underpaid Ezekiel Elliott is, he's still making $3 million a year.
He was
a fourth overall pick, and so he's got a big contract.
But $3 million, too. Think about that.
Dak Prescott,
$3 million.
Dak, I know.
What's Dak making? $600?
Dak Prescott signed a 4-year. $2.7 million deal, fourth round pick.
So about $700,000 a pop if you divide by four.
And this year he's making $2 million. You want to talk about underpaid for a starting quarterback who's going to be the starting quarterback?
Yep,
he's worse underpaid
until you extrapolate his numbers without Zeke.
That's a good
which
point.
Might actually answer the first part of the question.
That's a good point.
It's a really unique dynamic.
It's one of the most unique dynamics.
And then
in
you
football.
Max you mix
because
in...
so both of these guys depend like what they want to accomplish, and their window is open right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they mess around
for a
year,
defense is good too. Young's
agreed.
Getting younger and faster.
And if they mess around for a year or two and don't get this thing worked out, and these guys get more and more selfish and desperate to get paid, you're going to miss your window, right?
Yeah.
So the Cowboys are in a very unique offseason situation right now with these three guys that they got to pay, and they got to find a way to keep it together. Dak thinks it'll happen. He said this last week, mainly because he was looking at the incoming increasing revenues into the NFL. And the fact that the salary cap, which has gone up $10 million each of the last couple of years, will likely go up again next year. They're going to be fine paying these guys. You still got to work within the constraints of a salary cap, which right now they're up against it a little bit.
Well, what do you think? If you're a Dallas fan or a Dallas hater, obviously you've got opinions on this trio. How would you pay them? How would you disperse the funds? And really, in what time frame? I mean, you heard what Teague and I just said. I make a case, listen, with all due respect to the quarterback, I got to pay my running back first because the quarterback's not the same without him. Maybe you disagree. 855-212-4227. Teak and Tierney Show you know, it's so unfair, and it's so boring, quite frankly, to every year have to talk about this financial albatross that the NFL's become
for the
great players. It's ridiculous.
Right.
For the money that, what did I say last week? Every franchise, the average, about $2.5 billion in worth, which is 2% more than the previous year.
Right.
And we're sitting here saying, you know, the best running back in football.
Salary cap.
I mean, can we pay him?
It's a salary cap.
Think about
cap.
What we're asking.
It's a salary
cap. Can we pay him?
Even if you want to go over, you can't.
Oh, what a
joke. The other sports, you can.
They got to fix it, Teak. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The great Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, boxing's only 8th division world champion, back to face the hard-hitting, undefeated Keith one-time Thurman. It's the World Welterweight Championship coming up this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live. We'll do it live on pay-per-view. All right, Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Can't miss out on this, SEC Media Day.
Yeah, it is Big SEC fan. Media Day, and I just got my schedule, BT. You know, last year I did a couple of games, college football games, as an analyst for Compass Media. I did the FAU-Oklahoma game out in Norman, which was week one of the season. And
they scored 60-something on them.
They destroyed them. I did the game with Greg Papa.
Yeah.
Literally by the third quarter, we're asking, all right, who is the sixth-string running back that is taking over and the fourth-string quarterback that's playing for Oklahoma, because we had no idea who was on the field. And obviously, I did the Big Ten championship game, which we talked about, and I got to see Dwayne Haskins in person against Northwestern, and he was amazing. But I'm doing six games.
All right. Let's hear the venues. What do you got, Teak?
Ohio. This will be my first trip to Ohio State.
Going to the Horseshoe for the first time.
Indiana at Ohio State.
Okay.
I'm doing this with all these games with Gary Daniels.
Oh, nice.
Who's great.
Okay, Gary, yeah.
And
at
then
OSU.
Yep. Then I'm doing Miami at Virginia Tech.
Nice. Throw
up the UD cell.
Ooh.
Even though it's a hokey high.
Wow.
Be shaking the keys up there, and I think it's still called Lane Stadium. I can't remember where
Tiki's Pops played, for those who might not know.
That's right.
For
my dad was there with Bruce Arians.
Yeah. Roommates.
Yep.
So you're going to Blacksburg.
Going home. I'll be home.
I know.
It's literally 40 minutes from my home, from Roanoke.
At Ohio State, at Blacksburg. Yep. Are these both Saturdays or any Thursday
night
games?
These are so far all Saturday.
Okay, keep going. Two great venues so far.
Penn State.
I love it.
At Michigan.
At the Big House.
At Michigan. Penn State at Michigan.
Big House.
Which would be cool.
Wow. They're really putting you on the front end of the schedule this year. I love
Alabama, Arkansas.
Nice.
I've never been. What's Arkansas's?
I don't know the name of their stadium. Honestly,
I don't know a ton.
Good tradition, good rowdy fans.
Yeah,
zone.
Agreed.
Good time
and
out
it's
there.
Alabama, so it's a. I mean, they'll be up for it for sure. Donald Reynolds Razorback Stadium, it's called. Samter just told me.
Okay.
And then it gets real. Alabama at LSU.
At LSU.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which will be cool. Which will be great.
What a schedule this is.
So far, it's amazing. And then I go back out to Norman, which I did in my first game in last year.
All right.
Oklahoma State. At Oklahoma.
That's a great rivalry.
Yeah, so it is. It's a great rivalry.
Oh,
it'll be a fun one. We were talking about Lincoln Riley a little bit one of our breaks. Lincoln Riley, when asked about, are they going to take a drop-off because they lost their Heisman Trophy winning first overall quarterback? He's like, no, I think we're going to be just as good. Jalen Hurts is now the quarterback. Can you imagine if Lincoln Riley, because Jalen Hurts has played in some big games
when he
was at Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
He had, he was a winner, right? He wasn't blowing you away statistically.
No.
But dude was a winner. In fact, without him, they don't get to the championship game last year after Tua. Tagovailoa had all those injury issues with his lower extremities.
And his gracefulness allowed him to.
Oh, man. His
composure,
made life easy. Like his leadership.
Yep.
That's the kind of dude you want on your squad.
Yep.
Now
he's
the starting quarterback for Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Riley out at Oklahoma. I don't think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, but he'll be in the conversation.
You think he's going to be in the conversation?
I mean, only because they're going to be good again, right? But can you imagine if – I'm just forgetting. It's not even about that.
No, I got you. But that would be an incredible
Lincoln
sidebar.
Riley had three straight Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. Now, Jalen Hurts is not getting drafted number one overall like Baker did.
That streak's going to end.
That streak is definitely in it. But he could win the Heisman,
if they're
good. Lincoln, I mean, I know Bob Stoops was the man.
There's a couple of good quarterbacks. I mean, Oregon's got one that's
true,
ready to roll.
True.
There's going to be some stiff competition here.
Oh, it's a ton. Fields at OSU.
Uh-huh.
Justin Fields, who transferred from Georgia. We're not even mentioning Fromm at Georgia, who a lot of people consider, the best pro-ready quarterback of all the guys that are out there.
Yep.
So you know, Trevor Lawrence. He won a national championship.
Is he a junior yet? When are we going to get him
exactly.
to the NFL?
Can you get to the NBA? Can you get to the NBA?
When are we
going to
get him to the NFL?
You get to the NFL quicker? But the SEC media days are going on now, BT, and a couple of things that they're talking about. I read an article. I saw this today at USA Today. I got to find it.
Mm-hmm.
About the scheduling. And we know how this works every year. We see it, these out-of-conference schedules. And, you know, you get, like, Alabama playing the Citadel.
You give Citadel $1.1 million for their troubles. They lose by 60 points, and they go home with a smile.
Yeah, and it's good.
That's horrendous.
For the Citadel.
It's not good for anybody. For the Citadel.
I guess.
Well, finances their entire athletic department.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, I mean, when do they start making changes to this and kind of mandating it away
question.
From...
God, I'd love to see it.
Because it
I'll tell you when.
Excuse the field.
I got my answer.
You know what I mean?
When it's not as punitive to lose an early game or two.
Huh.
When you can lose a game or two early and not have it come back, meaning for that to happen, number yeah. one, they'd have to expand the playoff format. Because if you lose two games in the first month, there's no chance
yeah,
you have any
it.
Chance.
It's then. Over.
It's over. It's over. You can still win maybe your conference or your division in your conference if it's split, but... that stigma's got to go away.
Yeah.
The fear.
So you
got to
make it so that if you can win your conference, so you lose a game early to whoever, you come back and you dominate, you end up getting in the conference championship, and you win the conference championship,
mm-hmm.
then you have a vehicle.
You know what? It's funny. I wasn't even necessarily thinking that.
Because that's likely what would happen. You know what I mean?
Well, you can maybe borrow something and then tweak it from the NCAA. You look at
meaning
for
basketball. Yep.
You look at the one bid conferences. I'll take mine, Mac. Mm-hmm. I went to Marist, many know. I'm a Marist guy from the Mac, right?
Yep.
So if the winner of the Mac, the regular season winner, does not win the conference tournament, they're not going dancing.
Yeah, that's right.
But they do have an automatic berth to the NIT, which is nice for a smaller school. I don't know that you can quite do it to that level, maybe with certain conferences in football, because you're never going to have 65 teams playing for the championship of football.
Yeah.
So you've got to start, you know, whacking off teams just for yep. numerical sake, but or integrity. They really need to sit down and fix this because,
yeah.
you know, I don't even enjoy betting on these games because
yeah.
they're just – There's no intrigue.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not good. There's no intrigue.
This article I was reading, and I pulled it up now, and it says it could be coming because there's certain programs, and they mentioned specifically Ole Miss and Auburn, who are starting to cut out some of those, what do they call them? They call them...
Bye games.
Yeah, bye games. Bye games. Yeah. B-Y-U.
B-U-Y.
B-B-U-Y games. I'm thinking of BYU.
I got you.
B-U-Y games. B-U-Y. Not like buy.
Not B-Y-E.
Not B-Y-E, but buy you. Games. We're going to buy into a game. Ole Miss and Auburn are going to cut down on some of those because their spending had ballooned like over the last decade. You know, they start the SEC network, and yep. now there's new revenues because there's a specific network that's funding the schools in the SEC. But their budgets were getting out of control.
Yep.
And so they
don't want to have to pay a school.
Yeah, they're cutting budgets.
So
you're not going to pay a school $200,000 to come get your head beat.
And by the
in.
Way, it's a lot more than that.
True.
You're getting that. You might get $100,000 in basketball.
True.
You're getting way
you're right.
more than $200,000.
Right. But you know what I mean. So
football.
that's a catalyst
mm-hmm.
to get these scheduling situations worked out. It needs to happen because one, it's not interesting.
No, it's not interesting at all.
And it's. I don't know. There's just like a competitive unfairness when some teams can walk through certain parts of their schedule
mm-hmm.
and not have to deal with the attrition that other teams, you know, ultimately have to deal with.
Same page, brother. I'm with you. Who did Alabama play? Mercer? What was the game? I think it may have been Mercer, second to last game. I think it was Mercer. I'm pretty sure. Maybe Mike Kachet. Whatever. I think it's Mercer. And Nick Saban came out and said, apathy has infiltrated our stadium.
Yeah, that's right. They weren't there. There was nobody there.
There was
that's
all
right.
the empty seats.
That's right.
That's another problem.
You're right. You're right.
You know, I mean, if you're a student, yeah, you could still go tailgate and watch us
but
win
is it
56
worth it?
To 3.
But is it worth it? It's not anymore.
No, it's not when you're accustomed to championships and divisional titles and supremacy. If you're like Illinois, a team that's just looking to bag some wins, mm-hmm. and I don't know why I just picked Illinois, but Illinois jumped yeah. to my head. A mid-tier, lower-tier team from a power conference.
Lovey's got to start winning.
Yeah, this is season number 4. If he doesn't uh-huh. win this year, he's going to be gone.
Yeah,
Champaign's a tough place to recruit. Deal went there. He always talks about that.
Yep.
It's hard. I mean, outside the outlier with Kurt Kittner when they shared the Big Ten title 2003, whatever the hell the year was, it's a tough place to recruit. But the point being, if you're a student in Champaign and Mercer rolls in, you might go because we're going to see a win. And you're not going to see many wins.
Yeah.
But the higher level schools, no, there's an expectation that, you know, it's time to start playing some better teams.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's not good for the sport. Not good for any. You know, the good teams don't get better. The bad teams get further demoralized. The only person, and I understand what, the only one that wins is the ADs that subsidize the rest of the team.
Yes.
Crew,
yes.
Track,
on the smaller, whatever. On the smaller
scale. On the smaller scales, but
yeah, and what we're starting to, and what we're starting to see is that the ADs for the schools that are paying are going way over their budgets, and they're having to cut their budgets, which isn't something you never want to have as an athletic director.
Absolutely not. All right, good stuff, Teak. And by the way, so you're going to Ohio State, Blacksburg, the Big Cows, Arkansas, LSU, and Norman.
Yeah.
That's a good slate like that, bro. That's
cool.
A good one.
It's going to be fun.
Happy for you, man. You deserve it.
Appreciate you,
bro. Okay, Axe update right now. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right, still a lot to do here on Tiki and Tierney. Get to the blast in a second. First, though, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Craig via Louisville. All right, Serena lost her third straight finals appearance in her quest to tie for most Grand Slams ever. How tarnished will her legacy be if she doesn't catch slash pass Margaret Court?
Yeah, it's interesting. Margaret Court's an Australian. We all know, if you follow tennis, you know her intimately. She's got 24 career Grand Slams, but she's the only woman that has the career, I mean, the year slam. So she won all four of the Grand Slams, the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open in 1970, all in the same year. She obviously has the career slam as well because she's won all of them. But Serena talked about this after her loss to Serena Halep in Wimbledon. I mean, Simona Halep in Wimbledon. She said, I got to start playing the smaller tournaments because it's what tunes you up for, you know, the long run through the, you know, first, second, third round, quarters, semis, and then the finals to have the stamina to do it. She hasn't been doing that. She's just been playing in the Grand Slam. So, yes, she's lost three straight finals. But she's been to three straight finals, and those are the only matches or only, you know, tournament she's been playing in. I don't think it's going to damage her legacy, though. She's still an icon in the sport.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
And eventually she will pass Margaret Court.
And even if she doesn't, I mean, you know, more directly, just to weigh in quickly, I mean, Margaret Court is known as a tennis icon.
Yeah.
Serena transcends all that.
Agreed.
There's no comparison.
I think you're right.
It's not to, you know, really
elevate. It is what it is.
Just an acknowledgement of the times and what she's done, no question. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network brings you tennis like you've never seen it before. Don't miss this men's and women's action-packed showdown between Las Vegas and Washington. It's World Team Tennis. All right, coming up tonight on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. That's us, CBS Sports Network, home of Tiki and Tierney. You got Time to Shine coming up next at 6 Eastern. Gio and Boomer, or part of Boomer's going to come. Boomer and Gio in the morning. Our buddy Jim Rome before us. All sorts of great stuff. Tops on Sundays. Season 7 coming up this year. Incredible. So while you're doing all the stuff with the college football bouncing around and traveling to the great venues, getting ready to lock in for season 7.
I'll be back on Sundays.
It's awesome. I can't. It's how fast it's gone.
That means we're here 7 years.
That's true. It's crazy. When I came to, when, you know, we came jointly, but in, you know, separate paths, obviously, Tops wasn't even a concept.
No.
And now here we are sitting.
It happened quick, though.
Year 7.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You ready for the blast, Mr. Barber?
Let's hit it.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
D-Cell, you like this? 10 minutes for the blast.
Oh,
so little time. We got so much
time. So much time. More Madden news here. Top 10 quarterback ratings all released. Number 2 is Brady. Tom Brady checks in at 96.
Yeah, Mahomes is obviously number 1.
A bit high, if you ask me. Philip Rivers
just won a Super Bowl. Come on, man.
In defense. Philip Rivers, 94. Phillip's last month was not good. We chronicled this last week.
He was on an MVP pace.
He was right there.
He chipped off a lot.
Aaron Rodgers down to number 7 at a 90 rating, and Eli
pulling up the rear,
the lowest rated starter at 72. What are our thoughts on computers?
Second lowest starter. Because if Josh Rosen wins the starting job, he'll be a 70.
when you even have to throw that disclaimer in there, that's probably not good for you, Giants. The fact that you have to insert that. But go ahead. I mean, what do you make of these numbers here?
Look, it's a video game. I don't even care. We just talked about
what was your ranking?
Saquon.
What was your rating?
I honestly have no idea.
Did you ever play yourself in the game?
I did. And? I did. But I don't remember looking at the... I think it was different. Like,
it was dissected a little differently,
yeah,
right?
It wasn't the same. I probably was in the 80-something, maybe 90. I mean, I was good at the end of my career.
Yeah, I would think that you were definitely in the 90s.
But I was also getting older.
But when you were fumbling, you may have been in the 70s. Didn't know if you were going to make it.
94, my last year. Sam just looked it up.
90, of course he did. 94, tremendous.
What was it? I wonder,
wow.
Well, they probably,
that's awesome.
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know if they had the ratings. Like,
yeah, you were
early in my career. You know what I mean?
I played Madden in college, and
I don't remember them when I was in college.
Were there ratings?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It was just so like Neanderthal. Yeah, it was like
exactly.
You pick three plays and hit a button.
Exactly.
And then you move on to hockey and you crush somebody in the boards and there's a pool of blood and you play RBI baseball and you move on.
Only 84 catching?
Yeah, you had shaky hands at the beginning. I don't know.
84 catching? I'm one of three running backs from 5,000 yards.
Here we go.
Come on.
All right, Teek. The Sixers and Ben Simmons officially agree.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, 170 max, done. All right, four Sixers now making over $27 million a year.
Wow.
How long is this payroll structure sustainable? Well, this could work a couple of ways. Number one, it could add to team harmony because guys aren't scrapping to make sure they get paid.
Great point.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you have, like, two that are paid and two who are vying to get fully paid, yeah, maybe shot selection becomes an issue. I got to get mine. I got to put numbers up. I got to get paid. I don't know if they're good enough to win a championship right now, but in terms of the structure sustainable, I think it's fine.
I do, too.
I think it's fine.
I do, too.
I'm okay with it for now.
Look, it's interesting because when we've dissected this a little
bit. Looks like Derek Jeter there, doesn't he?
He does, Ben Simmons. But Ben Simmons making 5 years, $170 million, which is a max contract. Obviously, you know, he's their guy. They're fully committed to him. They don't want to have any question, you know, about what the future is with him. And so they pay him. But, God, how do you have a max contract? You can't shoot. You know what I mean?
It is amazing.
Nor you don't even try. But I guess that's the NBA. I think this is an exercise in harmony, as BT mentioned. And it's probably one that's smart right now for this team. The problem is if he never turns into a shooter and things, like, fall apart in 2 years, then you're kind of stuck.
Because
nobody's taking him if he's not a shooter.
Interesting. He's so young. He's got to develop one at some point, right? But, by the way, yes, that I say no.
Yeah.
I said that last hour. I don't think he will, but it's a lot of money for a guy who can't hit a jump shot. You're right. The Cavaliers waive J.R. Smith. Where's the best fit for J.R.? It was always interesting.
Go back with LeBron?
Maybe.
LeBron wants him back in Los Angeles?
LeBron got him paid with Cleveland. LeBron vouched for him hard. He got that, I think it was 4 years.
It ended kind of ugly.
Yeah, well, it usually does with JR.
What's the best fit? It's got to be someplace where someone knows him really well. Like, the superstars know him. So the only place I can think is L.A.
You know, I'm going to give you an unconventional one because I do agree with what you just said. Mm-hmm. He's got to have familiarity with the stars because they can at least rein him in, keep him, you know, from getting too wacky.
Yep.
A strong veteran coach. And by the way, if he's on an older team, and he's not a kid at this point anymore, but he can still have a 5 or 6 minute span where he can score 16, 17 points in a heartbeat if he heats up. And how about the Warriors, though? While Clay's on the mend, if you trust that culture enough, now they have Russell, but him coming off the bench for the Warriors with Steve Kerr, who could probably check him, probably coach him up, maybe the Warriors. I'll throw that out there.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. All right, what about this? 5 of 6 Major League Baseball divisions, and the leaders are up by 6 games or more. Will the second half be anticlimactic? The answer is no.
No.
Because, you know, and Bud
the Rays aren't going anywhere.
But the Yankees probably going to run away with this thing for sure. They already are. But the A's are better than we thought.
Yep, the Nationals are all of a sudden.
The Indians are coming.
Yep, the National League are all of a sudden above, you know, 6 games or 7 games over about 500 after being 12 below at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. But I also factor this in. I don't look solely at the top. I look at which wild card team makes an interesting move, which increases their viability.
Yeah.
And right now there's more teams with a theoretical chance at this point in the season than really in almost a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only 5 or 6 teams that literally have no shot.
Which makes the deadline really interesting. The Nationals have one of the, like, top starting rotations in baseball. Their bullpen has been terrible. So they're going to go try to make a deal for, you know, a closer or bullpen help. Probably Marcus Stroman. He's going to be available.
Yep. Pitched yesterday at the stadium.
Yep. Where does Madison Bumgarner end up?
Yep.
The Mets, two Mets guys.
Wheeler got hurt. He's on the injured list right now. Terrible timing.
The two Mets guys that they're talking about, are they going to get moved? I mean, there's going to be some movement, and it's going to make all of these teams that are maybe a step below much more interesting come the second half.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Michigan's South African trip comes to $1.2 million. We know that Jim likes to travel. He likes to travel during the offseason. Good bonding time for his team. The donors paid for this. Yeah. $1.2 million.
It's all good, man.
It is. Harbaugh wants a 2020 trip to be Nathan Seale training.
I love it as well.
Listen, he had Ric Flair in the locker room years ago. Yeah. When now Ric Flair's everywhere.
In the NFL. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I love it. He's proactive. He's out of the box. He's a little wacky. And listen, not everybody can cut a $1.2 million check because of the donors, but that's their problem.
Yeah.
If I'm Michigan, I'm saying that's not my problem.
Look, that's the benefit of going to coaching at a university that has a very deep and very successful alumni base.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
I hear you.
The Navy SEAL thing. That would be awesome.
I know.
Now, a lot of these guys aren't going to be able to hang. They're going to think they're tough guys.
Oh, it's got to be a modified SEAL training. True. They're going to be on the water for 3 minutes.
But they think they're tough guys, and they're going to realize.
Then you meet a Navy SEAL, and you realize you're a complete wuss.
Exactly.
No matter how tough you think you are.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
T-cell, 8 minutes. You like that? No rushing. No, like, screaming in our ears. You guys got to be done quick. You only get 45 seconds.
Monday.
It's only when we have exactly 5 minutes left.
BT's been good, man.
That's right.
He's been good. You getting to it early.
I was getting ready to break earlier in the day, you know, for one of those updates, and Ack wasn't even in the room. It was literally 5:30 and 39 seconds. I'm like, I actually want to break early for once, and I can't. He's not here. So, I mean, listen, we're trying to do things right timing-wise. And,
I don't know what's happening.
Diesel's got to step it up.
BT's becoming the responsible driver. I don't know what's happening.
Just trying to maintain radio integrity, my man. That's all it's about.
And our affiliates appreciate
that's
it.
Right.
Very much.
Hey, by the way, so Royal Port Rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a little bit. It came up.
Coming up on Thursday.
Almost 6 decades since their last, Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. that is, their last Open Championship. And, you know, you talk about Serena not playing the little events, quote-unquote little events. Tiger Woods is facing some scrutiny now.
Yeah.
The way he's kind of handled himself post-Masters.
I don't know if that was the right move for him. He basically took three weeks off.
I want to throw this out there. I have no idea how he's going to play this week. Yeah. I really don't know what to expect.
Right. I mean, how can you?
I don't know. I really don't know Royal Port Rush's layout either. That's part of the problem. I can't really diagnose what I think is going
to
happen.
Well, you haven't had any reason to look at Royal Port Rush for 59 years.
Yeah, I mean, when Max Fulmer won it in 1951, you know, it was a couple decades away from even hitting the planet or the Earth. But I think that Tiger Woods, he's at a place where he's never been, and he's content. Mm. I think that Tiger Woods fought so hard to get back, and he did something he never thought that, even in his heart of hearts, really thought that he could truly do.
Which was win
a major.
Win a major again.
He won the major, and I think he's kind of coasting, and I think he's kind of chilling. And he has not played well since then.
He really
hasn't. And he's not even playing.
And so his goal, it will likely be, I'm going to ramp up for one of these every year, as opposed to what it used to be, I'm winning every one of these every year.
Yeah, and if that's the new mindset, I'm not mad at you.
I'm okay with that.
I'll feel deprived as a golf fan because I want to see him, you know, I don't know if I really truly want to see him break Jack's record, but I want to see him be in a position to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe he still will. But remember, this is a newly reconfigured calendar. So after this week, there's no PGA waiting.
Right.
That's already happened.
That's right.
So this is the fourth major. It's a little tweak to the calendar. So Phil dropped 15 pounds in 6 days on a coffee diet. Tiger hasn't played competitively in a while. I don't know what to expect out there. Nobody knows this course.
Nobody knows it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Sampson made a good point. It was Northern Ireland, the political situation there for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably prevented that because we talked
about. But they've had other events there, just not the Open Championship.
Not the marquee, marquee event like an Open Championship.
That is correct.
That explains it a little bit.
A little bit. All right. We'll obviously talk about that and more. We get a little deeper into the week. Middle of July, training camps around the corner. Tiki and Tierney, have a great Monday. We'll see you. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.